I said, today is Pentecost Sunday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, if I go too fast, you just kind of slow me down a little bit here. Okay? Because had some interesting things happen this week. And I can tell you this, the Holy Ghost is on the move. Not if and when, he's on the move right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about what God is doing and what he's going to do in this earth. So, part of the message is I'm going to recap the last 150 days, basically the last 150 days that we've had from January 1st up until now. And I'm going to show you where we're going and where the Holy Ghost has taken us. Do you believe that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? I can cite to you numerous occasions where the Lord has led us in different things. But you know, one of the keys that I found out is I had to write all these things down. And I had to go back in my notes to find out just exactly where the Lord was guiding me. And I would encourage you today to write down where we've been since January 1st to the present time, and you'll see exactly where the Lord's going to take us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? And those that trust in the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 37, his steps shall not slide. So we're on some firm foundation here. We're on some firm footing here. I was looking on my Facebook, and one of my friends on Facebook is Pastor Paul Brady in Ireland. And they are going to have a walk here in June for a great awakening. And they're going to be praying for a great awakening in the nation of Ireland. And one of the things that we need here in this nation is a great awakening. And I can feel the shaking going on. I can feel the shaking that's taking place. The Holy Ghost is appearing on the scene, and the power of God is going to break forth. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for some fire? Some fresh fire. We need some fire. Some fire from God. I was looking back here just in the last few weeks about all the different people that have gone before us. And I was looking at some of the people here, and I was looking at how many know who this is right here? There's some of you that know who that is. That's Maria Woodward Etter. She's actually buried here in Indianapolis. The next person is John G. Lake, a man of faith, strong faith. The next person there is Smith Wigglesworth. And then the next person there, does anyone know who that is? That is William Seymour. He was Azusa Street, 1906, when the Great Awakening hit this nation. We are past due 100 years for another great move of God. And these are the cloud of witnesses. These are the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12. It says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And those are some of the witnesses that witnessed great moves of God and moved and saw great, great things that God was doing, supernatural healings, people being raised from the dead, limbs being restored, the blind seeing again. And we are on the cusp of this great awakening here in our nation and around the world. And I was looking at these people's lives, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that I need to learn from these people's lives? And this is what came up in my spirit. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, no longer are your teachers going to be hidden in a corner. The cloud of witnesses. And I started pulling out all these books I had a couple weeks ago on Smith Wigglesworth and the secret of his power. And I started looking at the John G. Lake testimonies of all the supernatural healings that took place. And I heard it in my spirit. No longer will your teachers be hid in a corner. I said, Lord, teach me about this great last final move of your spirit in this nation and around the world. And he started bringing all these things to me. Now, I want to get to the end because the end part is really exciting. The end part is really exciting, but I got to take you step by step in the direction that the Lord has led, I believe, this church, and he's leading us today, and I'm going to review this. And I want you to write these things down. Listen to me. You're going to miss it if you don't catch a hold of what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us and to you individually as a person. Do you believe? Kathy sang that song, I believe. Yes, I believe. But how much do you really believe? Do you believe that God wants to use you in these last and final days? Do you believe that God's Spirit is moving across this nation and I believe across this earth? Do you believe it? So you better get a hold of what he's trying to say this morning to us as a body, because I believe he wants to use this church in a mighty wave and the power of the Holy Ghost that will literally rock this nation and will rock this state. Amen. Do you believe that this church could be the church that God will use as the hub for the power of the Holy Ghost? Yes. I believe that. I believe that. So as I go through this, there's certain things you need to write down and meditate upon. Because there's things that I have meditated on these last 150 days, and the Holy Spirit has revealed his plan, what he wants to do in the future here very soon, and it will come suddenly, just like it did in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2, when it said, and there was suddenly. Suddenly. Now here's what I'm believing for y'all, for a five-fold Pentecost blessing, a stress-free home and family, divine health, financial favor, a stronger walk with God, strength to overcome every attack of the enemy in your life. That's what I'm believing for. Now, we're going to go step by step. Say the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I'll let you see, this is how the Lord has been ordering our steps. There's been things that I've gleaned from the pulpit up here, even during discipleship. There's been things I've gleaned. I've gleaned things from Pastor David. I've gleaned things, whoever has stood up here, because I believe they heard from the Holy Ghost. And what they've heard, some of the things that we have heard, is this: the importance of individual and corporate prayer. Matt mentioned these a couple weeks ago, I believe a few weeks ago. We were talking also about revelation knowledge and using the right net, because if you don't know how to use the right net, when God tells you something, you may pull the wrong thing out. So it was important, and we went through, and I handed out those little cards on Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3 and Colossians 1, so that we would have a source and we could look at that and be reminded that we need to pray, God, you have given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and you want to show me things from your word. So if I was writing things down, I would meditate on prayer. And I would meditate, God, show me. Show me what I have to pray for. God, I know that you're giving me revelation knowledge. He's ordering it step by step, and he's saying, I'm putting together everything that's lacking in this body, and I'm going to show you what's lacking, and I'm going to show you how to get there to take you to the place that I want you to be in these end times. I want you to be in your God-ordained position. So he's taking us a step, and he's saying, you need to pray, and you need to seek me daily. You need to stay focused, as Brother Matt was saying, you need to stay focused on these things, on prayer, on revelation knowledge. And the next thing was knowing the seasons, the times, and the urgency and the time that we live in. I'm going to tell you, there is not a political solution for what we face in this nation or around the world. It is not a political solution. It is the move of God's Spirit that will change this world. How come you can't discern the times in which we live in? How come you can't see that Jesus is about to appear on the scene? And when I sought the Lord in prayer on the times and the seasons, he gave me Joel chapter 2. And some of you saw the email I sent on Joel chapter 2 and 3. And I can tell you the season that we're in. We're in the season when all the nations are gathered together against Jerusalem and against Israel. And when we see that, what coincides with that event is the great outpouring, the great awakening of God's Spirit. He'll be poured out upon this nation, upon all flesh. And then the other event that was associated with that was the blood and the fire and the pillars of smoke. Now, I haven't got a full revelation of that, but I know Brother Oral Roberts in 2004 said that would be one of the signs in the heavens. But I believe it'll be such a cataclysmic event. Things are not going to be the same as they are. Things are changing. There's a transition going on right now. And we are going to be transitioning into the kingdom of God. This kingdom is falling away. But I can see it and I can prove it by the Word of God. We were the only nation in the world to stand with Israel, and now that support is eroding fast. It is not a political situation to this world's problems, but a move of God's Spirit, and God's people have to seek it and they have to pray for it. Then we talked about the parable of the talents, and you may be wondering, what in the world does the parable of the talents have to do with it? Something long time ago, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, if you're not faithful with what I've given you and the resources that I've given you, in Luke 16:11, it says, if you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And I submit to you that those true riches is the power of God, that when you lay hands on the sick, they're healed, and the blind see. So that's why we emphasized taking care of what we have and multiplying the resources that we have, because that's what God wants. Now I'm telling you, he's taking us step by step. This is a step that the Lord has shown us. Do you believe that? This is a step because he wants you qualified and not disqualified. He wants you qualified and not disqualified. We talked about the dunamis. We talked about managing our resources. And one of the things that I taught on here, when he gave them the talents, it says in verse 15, he gave it according to their several ability. And if you look up that word ability, it's the same word in Acts 1:8 where he gave them power. It is the power of God. And the reason he gave 1:5 is because he had a revelation of the power that was working in him. And the one he gave to, he gave it according to that revelation of power that he had on the inside of him. That's how he distributed the talents. So that's something that has to be meditated upon, has to be thought about. Lord, show me, Lord. Your power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is on the inside of me. And I know it can take resources that you put into my hands. And I know it. You can show me how to multiply those resources. Why is it important? It's because I want the true riches. I want the true riches. I want the true riches. And then we also talk about what we look at affects our walk. In Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What we stay focused on, what we're looking at, what we watch on TV, that affects our storehouse. And your heart is the storehouse, because out of it come the issues of life. And what you look at affects that. And then the other thing we talked about was about not looking back. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I told you that word "fit" in the Greek means well positioned. It means well positioned. Don't always look back at what happened in the past. It's not going to, you can't change it. We're talking about getting positioned in the kingdom of God for this great outpouring of His Spirit. And He's leading us step by step. And He's saying, here's the things you need to be aware of. Here's the things you need to do. And here's the things you need to watch out for. Now, I'm going to get into the part of where I believe that the Holy Ghost has taken us. Where we are at today. Last weekend I had a dream. And I dreamed that Jesus came to me. And He told me this. On August 18th, I want you to go to the graveside of Marie Woodward Etter. And then He poured something or sprinkled something on me, and it was a power I have never experienced before. It was a power I have never experienced before. And I told some of you in here about it. Kathy and I have been praying about it throughout the week. And Kathy got really excited, and Miss Dorothy, she told me this too. But let me read to you what a prophet of God said about Indianapolis, Indiana. And you tell me if He's not positioning us, this body, for a great outpouring of His Spirit. Kathy told me she was reading Marie Woodward Etter's book on the Holy Spirit, Signs and Wonders. Dorothy told me the same thing, but both of them had never talked. And Kathy said, "I was praying and the Holy Spirit told me to go to the epilogue." And I want to read you a portion of this epilogue of what it says. "I am very eager for the saints and dear people everywhere to know why we have built the tabernacle in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Lord appeared before me in the night and brought the building before me. He told me to arise and build a house for the Lord." I thought that was interesting. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise. Arise." And if you go through all the New Testament, there's things when God tells the people, He says, He'll go, "Arise, let us go to Jerusalem. Arise, let us go here." "The message and plan came so forcibly before me that I knew it was the voice of God. I rose the next morning, laid the message and plan before my secretary, and told him that we must proceed at once to make arrangements for the building. In about 2 months' time, the building was finished." Now, I want you to know the setting for this was back in 1918. Indianapolis looked a lot different in 1918 than what it does today. There was no 465 around the city. There was no Interstate 74 or 69 or Interstate 70 or Interstate 65. There was basically one road that went through Indianapolis, and that was Old National Road, which is US 40, Washington Street. That's the only thing that was here in Indianapolis at the time. But this saint of God heard from the Holy Ghost. And she said, here in about 2 months' time, the building was finished. We have a large, neat, comfortable tabernacle. Indianapolis is a large, beautiful, centralized city. A city that is easily acceptable to the saints in the north, south, east, and west. All those traveling across the continent can conveniently stop off here. The Lord has made it plain that this place is prepared to call the saints together. Now listen to this. Listen very carefully. The Lord has made it plain that this place is prepared to call the saints together from all parts of the world and to get a special endowment with power from on high. Hallelujah! It is qualified to do the last work and to get the last call. Now, I submit to you today that everything that the Lord has been showing us from 2009 to now, when He said, I want you to get into your God-ordained position, and the other thing, if you remember in 2010, what He told us is that we would reap. And I believe in it with all my heart that we're going to reap what this saint has sown here in this area. We are going to reap the prayers that she prayed, and we are going to see a move of God that this world has never seen before. Because the latter house will be greater than the former house, and this latter rain will be a greater rain than the former rain, because it will be both of them put together. Now, it is qualified to do the last work and to get the last call, to gather in the hungry souls and to get them sealed with the seal of the living God and ready for the rapture. And ready for the rapture. In 2004, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, I want you to get the church ready for my second coming and ready to go home. I believe that we are on these last final days of this world here as we know it. And I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to go. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I don't know if we even have the full revelation or if we even really understand what this all means. But I can guarantee you this. I believe in a year's time from now, we will not recognize this place. We will see things that we have never witnessed before. We will witness the supernatural. I was telling God prior to that dream I had, I said, Lord, there is no way, there is absolutely no way I can do anything without you. There is no way I can do anything without your spirit. There is no way. I might as well close the doors and lock it up because I need your spirit. It is you that I need. Now, we've seen some miracles here, but you know what? I don't think we've seen anything quite yet. She goes on to say, a brother in Canada wrote me that God showed him this is to be a lighthouse that Indianapolis, that he's going to send the light out all over the world from this place. She saw what God was doing. Because Jesus said in John chapter 5, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. And you know, when I wrote that email here a few weeks ago, I saw what the Father was doing in this world. That was a glimpse of what He was doing. When He said, I will gather all nations. But she saw what this end time would bring. She saw what it would bring. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I wonder what August 18th had to do with anything. As I was praying about it, the Lord quickened me. And I was doing research on the web. In August of 1912, they had a great revival in Dallas, Texas. It lasted for months. Supernatural signs and wonders. People getting healed. The blind seeing, limbs being restored to people's lives. And it was I said, Lord, that was about 98 years ago. He said, well, you need to look at the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish calendar was 100 years to the day. It was 100 years to the day. 360 days are in the Jewish calendar. And I counted back and it was 100 years to the day. I said, Lord, there must be some sort of significance here. Do you believe that God could use you in a way that will absolutely rock this community and rock this nation for Christ? Who would have thought that these people back here, who would have thought that these people would have made a difference? It was the power of God upon their lives. That's what made the difference. That's what made the difference. Now I can tell you where I'm going to be August 18th. Because I have a desire. I have a desire to see God's Spirit move. Some people may think, well, that's the most far out thing I've ever heard of. But you know, one of the things that the Lord quickened me to was this. He said, when Elijah left this earth, he dropped that anointing on Elisha. Those anointings, I don't believe, go with those people. Who was it, Dorothy, that lady that you told me that prays with Lynn Hammond? Lucy McGee? McKee? Well, anyway, she was saying the same thing, that those anointings do not leave with those people once they're gone. And I believe that that anointing that was on Maria Woodward Edder is held in reserve. It's held in reserve for this last end time outpouring. That tabernacle, we looked it up, it was at Belmont and Miller. It's no longer there. The church is? Not the original tabernacle. So we see, rapidly see, all you have to do is take a look around you. And no, things are not right in this world. Right? And unless God moves, the future doesn't look bright. But I'm going to tell you this. The future looks very bright. Because God is going to move. And God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm excited. And I'm going to proclaim the gospel from the housetops. And I'm going to see the power of God move. Hallelujah. Rob, do you believe that? Absolutely. How about you, Matt? How about you, Mark? Do y'all believe?
Yes.
Do y'all believe that God... Now, here's what the Lord impressed upon me. To believe and to pray this. We always look, before I get to that, we always look and we have this idea or this mindset that this power of God will move through, it's going to move through the great men and women of God that we know today. And I believe it will too. But you know, we're His people also. But He impressed upon me this, is to get our congregation to believe that we are going to be, we here at Life Church are going to be the people in the church that will be the funnel for this great end time revival. What do you think of that, Pastor David? What do you think? Do you think we can be that funnel? Do you think He'll use us? What do you think about that, Cherish? Nick? What do you think? Dwayne? Sherry? Joel? Dorothy? Crystal? Amen. Micah? Brad, Mom, what do you think? Do you think that out of this church can come the power of God where it'll just shake people's lives and change them for all eternity? I can't do nothing apart from Him. And I was praying this week and I said, Lord, you know, there's been many mighty women, many mighty men and women of God that you've put your anointing on, but sometimes they had done things that they just failed. And I said, Lord, I don't want to make the same mistakes. And I was praying, I said, Lord, you need to show me specifically what it is that I need to do that I don't make those same mistakes. And I don't think this was any chance or random thing. But I was looking and I found an article on Kenneth Copeland's website on Maria Woodward Eder. And the very last paragraph, it gave some very specific instructions for the ministers when this great move of God would come on them. Very specific. And I said, Lord, thank you for that instruction. I will take heed to that and I will put that and print that up where I can always keep it before my face. Because I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a casualty. So church, this is where we're headed. The Lord has ordered our steps so far from the beginning of the year and even last year until now. You just don't randomly preach a message in church without the Lord having a specific direction for where He wants you to go. Do you believe that? It's not by golly or by gosh. The Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. And I believe that these steps that He's taken us is to qualify us for this end time outpouring of His Spirit. It is to qualify us. And I want to be qualified and not disqualified. Amen? So rejoice. God wants to use you. He wants to use this church. And His heart's cry is for the lost and for the hurting. And He wants to put things back the way it should be. To restore. But we've got to be doers of the word. These last two messages that I spoke on or that were spoken up here on faith, the thing that kept being impressed was being a doer of the word. Being a doer of the word. Hallelujah. I long to see the days. I have a desire for the things of God and to see the move of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I sense this, that the church that I'm going to be speaking at here on the east side here in the end of July, we met that brother when we were up at Bill Winston's church, or Kathy and Dorothy did. And I believe that they're going to be a big part of that also. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So before we dismiss, I'm going to say it again. Do you believe? Kathy's song was this. But I didn't fully understand the cost, because there are saints throughout the ages, and there are those today who show us what it really means to carry the cross. And I believe that those men and women that I have up here, they showed the way to how to carry the cross and how to carry God's power. And I'm not ignorant enough to know that I better take a heed of what they had to say.
I just wanted to, before he closes too, we're working with the kids back there to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to God speaking to them through Pastor Mitch, Pastor David, Cassie, when she's up here, and anyone else that's here. We want them to learn to listen and to hear the voice of God. So when they are in here next week, your parents, when they're in here next week, I want them to bring their Bible, a pen, and paper. Okay, and that's what we did today. We practiced how to take some notes, how to listen to the Lord. They don't know it all yet, and that's okay. But I just want to really encourage you parents to encourage them. They wrote down notes, and there were some scripture verses. Go ahead and go over those scripture verses with them. Work with them on that. Just go through what we were talking about. And I taught them just a little bit about salvation, and they had to listen and take notes on that. And then listen to what, and some of them had things on there that didn't exactly go with it. But you know what? I told them that's okay because you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I told them that I really want them next Sunday, because we're going to be gone, when they're out here, I want them to take notes, to really listen to Pastor David and to take notes on this so they can tell me what they learned. Okay? And I want them to tell me what the Holy Spirit's teaching them. So I just wanted to encourage you on that for next Sunday, because I think this is important for them, because he speaks to them as much as he speaks to each one of us. And I want to get them geared to listen to the Holy Spirit and to really, so, you know, they can live a life of peace and joy and listen to God, so they don't have to go through a lot of the struggles that we went through to get there. Amen? So I just really wanted to encourage you parents to help them with that.
There's one last thing that I just remembered. When Kathy was praying last week about this, there was a verse that the Lord took her to that just
set us on fire.
And it was this. It was in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 36. Now listen to this. This is very interesting what the Lord showed her. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people. Now listen, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. And we believe that what God is doing, he's going to do it suddenly. He's going to do it very suddenly. It's going to be suddenly.
And you know, when he showed me that, it was like, you know, I was telling somebody, it's like when you stand before the king and you hear that all your whole life's going to pass before you, it was like that was coming. He was showing me all the things that all of you have done to prepare for this. What you did prior to coming here, what your church did prior to that to prepare you for this time and this place, you know. And so what looks like it's going to come suddenly, it's actually been a time of preparation that God has been preparing us for. So when Mark had a vision that several years ago, that there would be people out in that foyer, that we'd have to open up the windows to let people hear, because they wanted to hear the gospel and there was no room in here. You know, these things are going to come to pass, but it's going to seem suddenly. It's like all of a sudden, whoa, where'd all these people come from? But it's been that preparation time that he's been preparing each one of us and putting us in position. But it's going to come suddenly. It's going to happen like that. But we're going to be ready for it. Amen? Amen. Amen.
But it said Hezekiah rejoiced. Amen. Hallelujah. Hezekiah rejoiced. And I'm rejoicing in what the Holy Ghost and what he has in plan and in store for us. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. One last thing before we close. Make sure you give your kids' achievements to Pastor David so we can recognize them here in a few weeks. I believe on June 13th we're going to do a recognition for all the kids. So make sure you get that into Pastor David, okay? We want to know the graduations. We want to know your child's achievements, honor rolls and everything, so we can recognize them and encourage them. Amen? So be encouraged today. God's got some great plans for you and for this church. He's got some great things. Amen?
Amen. Not just here, it's going to go out beyond these four walls.
And one thing I will caution you all on is when The power of God comes. You know what happens, comes with it? It's persecution. No one really wants to talk about that, but I was reading, they were afraid to get around. Some people were afraid to get around Maria Woodward Edder because they thought that she was just way out there or something, but they were afraid to get near her. But you're going to see persecution. Okay? So it just comes with the territory, but you know what? I really don't care. So hallelujah. Let God be glorified. Let God be lifted up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. I pray a blessing upon your people, Father, and upon the children, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father. I thank you for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.